UTC right after the international news.
And welcome to Straight Talk Africa. I am Peter Clotty. Today, I have the honor to celebrate the 20 years of Straight Talk Africa on air. Welcome to your show, Shaka. Now, due to the global COVID-19 pandemic here at VOA, we are following CDC guidelines and maintaining proper social distancing. So Shaka and I are sitting at least 6 feet apart inside our studio. For 2 decades, Shaka is the host and managing editor of Straight Talk Africa. He has interacted with African heads of state, religious and political leaders, as well as opposition and insurgents. Shaka has always strived to tell the African story and to bring the best news and information to Africans on the continent and beyond. It is my honor, Indugu Shaka, to welcome you to your show, 20 years in the making.
I have to say, Ndugu Peter, that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to be hosted by you on this special edition of Straight Talk Africa.
So let me ask you, Shaka, what do you think has been the significance of Straight Talk Africa, 2 decades in the making and still continuing?
I think that the significance of Straight Talk Africa, in my view, is that first and foremost, we have survived. Mind you, we actually went on air for the first time on August the 2nd, 2000. And beyond merely surviving, Dugu Peter, the program has, in fact, become a sort of show of record in as far as the African continent and the diaspora are concerned, to such an extent, Ndugu Peter, that it has inspired a lot of youth, a lot of people who can't wait to be journalists and, in fact, become a sort of Shaka Sari.
Well noted. Now let's go to Zoe Liodaki, Straight Talk Africa's producer, who takes us on a brief journey down memory lane.
All right, stand by. Here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
For 20 years, Shaka Sali has been hosting Straight Talk Africa. The first show aired on Wednesday, August 2nd, 2000. And since then, it has covered major developments and trends on the African continent, analyzing socioeconomic realities and ramifications in a balanced and objective way, while providing a platform for the audience to interact with newsmakers.
Why should we believe what you are telling us?
At the time it was created, many African countries depended on international broadcasters for objective news, and Straight Talk Africa skillfully filled that void.
We talk about politics, health issues, elections. We talk about corruption.
We had very large audiences in Nigeria, Ethiopia, and there was a need for a program sort of along the lines of call-in shows in European countries and the United States, where people could ask questions, could get some context for what was in the news.
The idea for Straight Talk Africa television program was groundbreaking at the time. Until then, VOIA African Division shows were broadcast on radio. But this show was going to be aired on television, simulcast on radio, and include telephone callers from the continent and the world. The host of the show, Shaka Sali, had been at VOA for a number of years and had the reputation of being an excellent analyst of African issues. He insisted that he would not only interview newsmakers, but also give a voice to the voiceless.
We attempt to discuss issues, for example, that reflect the interests of the people.
I have contributed once to the show, and I was humbled when Shaka San, you know, called me back.
In the 20 years Straight Talk Africa has been on air, it has produced over 1,000 shows and hosted over 100 guests per year. The program's topics range from politics and security to education, women's rights, environmental issues, civil society initiatives, to efforts to beat Ebola and COVID-19.
I never take anything for granted. Each show is a new show as far as I'm concerned.
We have nurtured this tree and developed a program that develops intellectual curiosity of the continent and demystifies the stereotypes about Africa.
Straight Talk Africa often takes an in-depth look at initiatives of the diaspora to aid Africa and focuses on how chess and art can inform social change. Shaka Sali has interviewed many African leaders during his two decades helming the show, including former Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, who was also the first elected female head of state in Africa, Kenneth Kaunda, the first president of Zambia, and Lazarus Chakwera, the current president of Malawi.
And I look at myself as a servant of nothing but the truth, a servant of issues, not a servant of personalities, not a servant of ideology, not a servant of politics.
Generations of Africans have grown up watching, listening, and interacting with Shaka and his guests. He provides a meaningful forum for the political truths taking place in their countries. Many fans talk about the Straight Talk Africa University that gives free lectures every week.
When my dad used to tell us to watch your show, when he's back from work, he's going to ask us questions. That helps me to learn more stories of Africa and also to know other places as well.
Straight Talk Africa is destination viewing and listening. And after two decades, the program continues to leave an indelible impression on Africa's ever-changing political and social landscape while providing a blueprint for younger generations of aspiring journalists.
I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Zoe Liudaki, VOA News, Washington.
Well, Shaka, what an amazing career. I want to go back to the show when it started. At the time, you were a respected radio co-anchor of English to Africa's flagship program, Africa World Tonight, and an analyst on the WorldNet television show, The Africa Journal, hosted by VOA's Maimuna Mills. Why wasn't this enough in Ndugu Shaka?
You know, the media landscape on the African continent was changing tremendously. It had for years been dominated by state-controlled media. There were only a few countries, perhaps like South Africa. You could probably talk about Kenya. You could probably talk about the Republic of Ghana, which had independent platforms. So I really felt that since the African continent had recently opened up, there was a void that needed to be filled by a program such as Straight Talk Africa, which, by the way, was triggered largely by the fact that when I was doing my graduate work at UCLA, the University of California, Los Angeles, doing history, film, and cross-cultural communication, I discovered how important oral traditions were when it came to African history. In fact, none other than Alex Haile himself, the author of the best-selling Roots, and of course the autobiography of Malcolm X, he had traced his origins, his roots, from the Republic of the Gambia by following through the process of African oral traditions, going through the griots and all that kind of stuff. So I felt that there was a need for a program for Africa where people would be free, for example, to interact, and in some cases, in fact, have unfettered access to their own leaders, including their presidents, including their prime ministers, their ambassadors, their chief justices, their bishops, and you name it. And, you know, it worked, because at one point, as a matter of fact, we received overwhelming reaction suggesting that Straight Talk Africa had, in fact, in their view, not mine, succeeded in becoming what they characterized as a Pan-African sort of parliament.
Mm.
That was before the establishment of the Pan-African parliament, which is based in Midlands, South Africa.
Now let's take a look at what VOA management thought at the time about Shaka and how Straight Talk Africa was born.
I met Shaka at the University of California, Los Angeles. I hadn't heard from Shaka for like 6 years. He called me one day from New York and he said, hey, Greg, you know, I'm interested in working at the Voice of America. It so happened I had just been chosen to head up the English to Africa service. I spoke with the division director. So Shaka came in, we had lunch, and after that lunch, the division director said to me, we got to hire that guy. He is so good.
Live from the Voice of America headquarters here in Washington, I am Shaka Sali.
Straight Talk Africa was created just at the turn of the century, from the 20th to the 21st century, right in that period. And VOA was becoming increasingly popular, increasingly relied upon on the African continent.
You have to remember at the time, throughout much of Africa, there was no independent broadcast media. People depended on international broadcasters for so much information.
Shaka has played a tremendous role the last 20 years by trying to bring civil political discourse with the opposing views. He has brought actually government officials and opposition leaders to the table to discuss issues, burning issues of the country. So I would say that it's not only informing people, educating people, but also Shaka has helped also to establish a new culture, that means civil political discourse.
Shaka was in some ways a sort of transnational African person. He was somebody who achieved what some people might have regarded impossible at the time, but a sort of African identity, not just a particular national identity. And he was able to get people to talk with him as a result.
He has interviewed high-profile head of states, political activists, opposition leaders, NGO leaders. I remember now Paul Kagame of Rwanda. I remember Yoweri Museveni of Uganda. I remember the late president, Mr. Atta Mills, who gave him the interview straight talk from Ghana State House, from the palace. These are all Shaka Sali's achievements.
And you could see in the way that the audiences just grew. All our research was telling that.
He was able to draw information out of people that not everyone would be able to do. They trusted him.
His knowledge of Africa, his reality, his sensitivity to African issues.
More meaningful information to Africans all over the continent about what was happening there.
This anniversary is a great anniversary. It's a recognition of Shaka Sali, his greatness. An incredible, well-versed, highly skilled journalist, actually. I congratulate him, and I congratulate also every producer, line producer, every team in that Straight Talk Africa should be also congratulated. It's the greatest achievement.
In the last 20 years, what has been some of the key highlights of Straight Talk Africa?
First of all, Ndugupita, that is a very, very important question. You cannot believe that right from the bat, right from its inception, the impact was incredible. For example, I recall in 2002, hardly 2 years the program had been on air, Ethiopia and Eritrea were fighting what former U.S. President Barack Obama would probably characterize as a dumb war, brother fighting brother, for a piece of sand territory called Badme. And the international community had somehow, the tribunal, ruled, you know, in favor of one over the other. So we had the program and two ambassadors, each of them, of course, being plain potential and extraordinary. There was the ambassador representing Ethiopia. There was also the ambassador representing Eritrea. And as we discussed, the Eritrean ambassador seemed to be more effective. This man had, by the way, before the rebirth of Eritrea, had been an Ethiopian soccer megastar. And now he was Eritrea's ambassador to the United States. Suddenly, there was a call. And the caller on the other end, calling from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, said his name was Abebe. And listening to him in my ear, I had someone very unusual, someone remarkably articulate, remarkably authoritative, remarkably confident, and essentially he was talking about how, for example, the Ethiopian ambassador did not seem to represent the reality of what the tribunal had ruled.
Would you please ask the ambassador to show you on the basis of the black line where Badme is and if Badme has been assigned to Eritrea on that map?
And you know what? The Eritrean ambassador, who had actually been a freedom fighter also, and had been, in fact, with Meles Zenawi, who happened to be, at the time, the prime minister of Ethiopia, said, that is not Abeba, that is Meles Zenawi, the prime minister of Ethiopia. This man was watching us live from Addis Ababa. At the time, we were basically going global live via SABC, the South African Broadcasting, you know, Corporation Africa satellite, could take us all over the place. So such was an impact. A whole prime minister of Ethiopia, which happens to be the second largest country on the continent after Nigeria, with a population of more than 105 million human beings, he was calling from Addis Ababa to Straight Talk Africa.
Interesting.
And talking to the Kavale kid, a kid that had really been an obscure type of kid in Kavale and had walked to Washington, D.C., and had now become an international, really sort of household name, especially in Africa and the African diaspora homes. And then there was also another case. We had a program on Nigeria. The key host on the program was the Nigerian vice president, Atiku Abubakari. He was vice president of General Olusegun Obasanjo, retired but certainly not tired, who was then president of Nigeria. We're talking about essentially 2000, when the program had just actually come on air. And he was asked by some Nigerian audience, talking about how since the end of the civil war in Nigeria, the Igbos who had failed, of course, to sustain Biafra, which they had declared their homeland, he had said were being discriminated against to such an extent that even after 30 years of the war, there was not a single Igbo general in the Nigerian armed forces. You cannot believe, Ndugu Peter, that within 2 weeks, even though the vice president was claiming that there were Igbo generals, and when I asked him, could he name one, two, or three specifically, he couldn't. You cannot believe that within 2 weeks, Abuja, the capital, appointed 3 Igbos to the ranks of general, brigadier general, major general. Such was the impact that came with Straight Talk Africa.
Meaningful impact. Well, during your 20 years on the helm of the show, you have worked with a number of producers. We caught up with a few of them.
Welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
I like the host of the show.
Chaka is a gentleman and a scholar. He was a very knowledgeable person, first and foremost.
Chaka likes in-depth conversations, conversations based on facts, and he doesn't like polemical debates.
Being able to use leaders of many different countries that Chaka could pin down, a president could be seen anywhere in Africa. And when it comes to asking the tough questions, he's not afraid to do that.
Is that something that you could even remotely think about?
Our constitution forbids it.
I thought I knew a lot about African politics and the nuances of it all, but Chaka, he knew it all.
And Chaka uses facts, uses the historical context of a situation to get as close to the truth as possible.
We had the voices of everyone, the scholar, the politician, the NGO, and the most important voice, we were including the voice of the audience.
It wasn't just Africans in Africa who were calling us. It was also people from diaspora. Many times we got calls from London, from the Netherlands, from Greece even.
So Chaka helps people connect with their history and also understand their rights.
In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Africa.
Oh, Chaka had some Chaka-isms.
When he was interviewing somebody and they weren't really quite telling the truth, or as we say these days, they were giving you fake news, Chaka would turn to them and say, "Is it?" was one of his favorites. And then he'd say, "Really?" And then would come the killer questions.
My favorite Chaka-ism is the president and the government are employees of the people. It's a perfect phrase. It talks about socioeconomic justice and respect to human rights. And it applies to any country in the world.
The greatest friend of the truth is time. Her greatest enemy is prejudice. And her constant companion is humility. So I think that encompasses everything about him, the show. And I just think it's the best statement that we worked on our work ethic, to bring the show together every Wednesday to our audience.
And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.
And now, Chaka, in addition, Straight Talk Africa, you have another weekly show, Chaka Extra Time. Tell us about the show.
Basically, Ndugu Peter, what triggered that show, and you are talking about, of course, the Chaka Extra Time, which is hosted by my colleague, Paul Ndiho. That show was triggered by Straight Talk Africa. There was a gentleman who sometimes I'm tempted to say qualifies, frankly, to be one of my mentors in television journalism, the late Bob Long. I'm sure you knew him.
Yes.
Bob Long at one time was in charge of NBC television in this city, Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles, the city of the angels. Bob Long came to work for the Voice of America as one of those senior program reviewers. As he was reviewing various television programs out of this building, he came across Straight Talk Africa. And being a television man, by the way, he had served in the U.S. Army as a captain, and I had also served in the Ugandan Army as a lieutenant paratrooper. So I used to defer to him. I used to call him Captain Long. He would say, well, go on, lieutenant. Bob reviewed some of my programs, and he reached one conclusion. He said, first of all, in his words, not mine, that Straight Talk Africa was probably the best program that came out of this building. It connected with the audience effortlessly. And he said the reason was because of the host. And he said the host had three things going for him. He was, first of all, informed. He was authentic. And he was sophisticated. And so he actually suggested to the VOA senior management that the VOA did not seem to understand the sort of intellectual diamond that it really had. He actually said that they were underutilizing Shaka Sali. He was an admirer of a great journalist at the CNN at that time called Anthony Bourdain. You know this guy, he used to go around and eating food and all that kind of stuff. And
he was a great guy. Right.
Yeah, he was, in fact, a household name globally. Mm-hmm. So Bob envisaged Shaka Sali becoming a VOA sort of Anthony Bourdain. When that didn't work out, he basically sold the idea of having a sort of program where Shaka every week would get an opportunity to interact with his audience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, explaining some of the things, for example, that had been on previous, you know, Straight Talk shows, and providing some kind of solutions to some questions. And you can't believe it. That program has actually been on air for 8 years. It started largely as a sort of social media. We basically go live via internet every Tuesday. And you cannot believe how many television stations have since picked it up on the African continent, because it is in incredible demand. Mm. So, my friend, that is how the Shaka Extra Time was born. Mm. Some of the reaction has been suggesting that, there are students at universities who have actually been watching Straight Talk, watching Shaka Extra Time, and simply on that basis, they have sort of characterized it as a sort of university where you don't need to pay tuition. Some people have actually told me how they got first-class degrees based on the knowledge they interact with via courtesy of Shaka, etc. Mm.
Wonderful. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion with Shaka in a moment, so stay with us.
I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you on Straight Talk.